Mark chapter 3, and we are going to read together the first 12 verses of this portion of Scripture. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which hath had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straitly took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him, and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. Amen. We're going to end our reading there at verse 12. We trust the Lord will bless this reading from his holy word to our hearts for his name's sake. This evening we're going to take as our text that eighth verse, particularly the last half of the eighth verse, where it says, A great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. This evening I would like to speak to you about a powerful reason for coming to Christ. A powerful reason for coming to Christ. With the Word of God open before us, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Let's all seek Him together that He might be with us in this time. Our Father and our God, again we are grateful to Thee that we are Thy people, that we are known of Thee, that Thy grace is ours. We're thankful, O God, that Thou dost deal with us as Thou dost deal with Christ. Lord, it is our plea before Thee that Thou wilt meet with us and deal faithfully with us again, deal bountifully with us, as Thou dost deal with Thy Son. O Lord, bless us as we wait upon Thee. Meet with our hearts and speak to us. O God, encourage us with Thy Son. Lord, we put ourselves before Thee now. Let Thy Holy Spirit come into our midst and do us good. Lord, now we put ourselves at Thy feet. Remember that we are in Christ. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt help me as Thy servant. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt give me utterance, direct thought and word, I pray, for the sake of Christ, in whose name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Is it warm? Can we have somebody click on the air conditioner for us again? There, maybe in the back. A powerful reason for coming to Christ. I think we will begin our consideration tonight with the thoughts of three truths about the cause of Christ. Three truths about the cause of Christ. And these may seem somewhat obvious, but I believe that there is an encouragement to be had by noting these things. First, I want us to understand that concerning the cause of Christ, the opposition to the cause of Christ, the opposition to the gospel, the opposition to what Christ is seeking to do among the minds and hearts of men, well, the opposition of the great ones of this earth did not nor ever shall hinder the cause of Christ. That's one thing we can point out from this portion of Scripture. Christ was very much opposed. The Pharisees and the Herodians there were not just mild dissenters to what they heard. They were not those who heard and saw what Christ did and just simply shrugged their shoulders and say, well, we don't agree with it, and then they went on their way. These men were set for the destruction of Christ. They were those who went out after having seen Christ in His mercy. They were those who went out and sought to destroy Christ, to kill Him. And yet, even though that was the case, when Christ went out to the sea, multitudes came after Christ. The Pharisees sought to dissuade men. They sought to discredit Christ. They sought to do everything that they could to keep men from coming to Christ. But when Jesus Christ will draw those who are His own to Himself, the opposition of man shall not stand. That is one truth that we may say concerning the cause of Christ that we see here tonight. There's another truth that we might suggest to you about the cause of Christ, and that is this. Not every man that came by the seashore came to Christ. Not every man is going to believe in Jesus Christ. Not every man that beholds even the power of Christ will come to Christ. You would think that many of these people, the disciples, would quite logically be able to go and say, look what's happened. Look, this man was just healed. How can you not believe? And they would think, oh, we have such a strong argument to cause men to trust Christ and such wonderful reasons. But you know, some men will not be persuaded. You can list all the arguments you want to. You can reason with them all day long. You can tell them why they are in error for following the course that they are going. You can show them the magnificence of the power of Christ and what it has done for thousands of others and how they have been healed and how they have been restored and how they are going on with the Lord. You can point to all these sorts of things, but I'm here to tell you, some men just will not believe. There must be a hearing of what Christ has done, and it must be a hearing that these people take to their hearts as being mine. You know, sometimes we think that we can, by our persuasiveness, by our reasoning with people, talk them into trusting Christ. If you just make it plain enough, if you just show them what is in the other works or churches around and other religions, certainly if you just make it plain to them, they're going to believe. No, they're not. No, they're not. It's a matter where men will only come to Christ when what is done by Christ is made their own. But then there's another truth, and this one I say is very simple. Some came to that seashore with a very simple hope that Jesus would do something for them. And those who came in that way were not denied. That's a simple truth. Any man who comes in hope to Christ, saying, Lord, I just need to have You do something for me, that man will not be denied. Three truths, I say, about the kingdom of Christ, about the cause of Christ. As we gather tonight here in this place, my thoughts to you are going to be very, very simple. And I begin with a question to you. How do you come to Christ tonight? How are you here? How are you before the Lord in this place? How are you coming? Are you coming as those who say, I need to have Jesus do something for me? Well, I say you're in a good place. I say you're in the right place. Are you here to meet with the Son of God by faith? If it is your heart's desire that He would do something for you, then I say draw near and let Him know at once. Do you need to have Christ do something for you? Will you come to Christ tonight and let Him know that? Will you draw near with your own heart and speak to your Savior, Lord, I need to have You do something for me? The indication from our Scripture is that He will help. He will arise. He will heal. And I say that this simple truth, it's just so simple, it's such a simple, plain truth. But I say understanding this is an extremely powerful reason to come to Christ. The Lord will help me. the Lord will help me. And so I say to you tonight, as my proposition, that I hope that each one of us shall take hold of by faith, is this: Jesus Christ shall do great things for you. The Scripture says that they came to Christ when they heard of the great things that He had done. Well, Christ is set to do great things for you. Will you draw nigh? Will you come close to Him tonight? I've got three things I'm going to deal with tonight to speak on, to set before you. The first one is I want us to look at this scene and see the attraction. I want us to notice the attraction that was here. There was an attraction. Something drew men to Christ that day. Something drew men from very far away. Something caused men to come to the seaside there to seek Christ from what may have been days away as far as journeying. There was an attraction to Jesus Christ. And I say the attraction is singular. There's only one thing that the Scripture says here that attracted men. They heard what great things Christ had done. There was a hearing. There was the truth of the work of Christ that reached down into the heart and ears of the people that were gathered there. Perhaps you might say they heard what Christ had done to those who were in need. Perhaps one would say, you see that yonder palsied man? Oh, I misspeak, for he's palsied no more. And what happened to him was not something he did for himself. The Son of God, this one who stands before us, this one who we speak of is the one who helped him. Oh, same thing with this blind man who sits over here. Well, again, I misspeak because he's no longer blind. The demoniac over there, the man that was in his mind and heart fevered to a pitch of almost destroying himself. But again, I misspeak because he is fevered no more. Oh, these have come to Christ and we hear of the great things that he has done. Certainly there is cause for us to come to Christ, they would say. Oh, perhaps we might think of the Lord Jesus and say, that's true for me as well. I hear of the things that He has done in other men, and I must come. But I say, are there not other things that we hear that He has done that cause us to be more prone to come to Him rather than just simply hearing of eyes opened and limbs straightened and minds freed? Jesus Christ does other great things. Have we not heard? Have we not known ourselves that He relieves the guilty? Have we not seen that Christ forgives the offender? Have we not seen Christ feeding the hungry and interceding for the ignorant? Have we not known these things in our own lives? I say, there is much that we can hear of Christ. There is much perhaps that you have heard of Christ. And I'm here on the Lord's behalf tonight simply to say to all of you, what is the particular need that you have tonight? And I would say, let us not just go through the time tonight in a sense of routine, but I ask you to do something while you're here tonight. I ask you to bring forth in your mind what the need of your soul really is. And I think that all of us can take a look within and say, here is a need that I need the help of Christ about. Here is something, and I say, bring it forth. Bring it to Christ tonight. I'm not saying bring it to me or bring it to each other. I'm saying you in your heart and your mind, will you bring your need to the feet of Christ tonight as we are gathered in this place? Bring it here. And I say, on the authority of the Word of God, we can find that Jesus will help and Jesus will heal what we have needs of. That, I say, is the attraction. Christ helps. Christ works. Christ heals. Christ strengthens. Christ rejoices. Oh, I say, there's much that we might find of Christ tonight. There's something you might find Christ doing in your heart tonight if you'll come to Him. I say that's the attraction. But I say I want to take a look at those who were attracted before we leave this thought. Those who were attracted, we can make some conclusions and some observations about them and say, perhaps, oh God, we need to be made more like them by grace. First, I will say of these people who came by the seaside that they came with a believing ear. They came with a believing ear. And I will say very bluntly, do not allow yourself to come into this time tonight or come to a topic of what we're talking about or take up that which I am even speaking of to your mind and to your heart and let your heart slide to the point where you feel, well, you know, the Lord has done things for me at other times. He will not meet with me tonight. I can't expect that. I can't expect Christ to be a helper to my soul in this time. On this Sunday night with these people around me, I'm not sure I can know that. I say, do not let your heart be so hard as to believe that Christ cannot meet with you as you sit in your chair tonight. What is your need? Bring it to Christ, but bring it believing. Bring it as one who believes in the work of Christ. We believe that Christ saves us. We believe that Christ heals the multitude. We believe that Christ changes lives. In fact, we would have to say, hallelujah, I can testify that Christ has changed my life. I believe in it. I believe that Christ forgives sins. Why would we not believe that He would do us good right now? Why would you believe that as you sit in this place, even perhaps not knowing fully the need of your heart, knowing where you are, why would you believe that the Son of God would withhold Himself from helping you even this night? These people came with a believing ear. They also came with the right conclusion, and that is this: if Christ has done so many great things for others, surely He will help me. That's right thinking. That's good thinking. That's logical thinking. If Christ has helped sinners before, and I'm a sinner, then maybe He'll help me. If Christ has helped other men with their needs, if I have heard others testify how the Lord has spoken to their heart and lifted them up, then perhaps I can with confidence believe truly that the Son of God will help me even tonight. Tonight. And so, if you will, I issue a challenge of sorts. Come by faith to the Son of God right now and see if He will not meet you. Be like that man who hears the words of Christ there in the synagogue. You stretch out that hand. What is your need? Stretch it out, not to me, not even to your own heart. Stretch it out to the Son of God and see what happens. Will you? Will you lift your heart to Christ? These people came to a right conclusion. I say that there was an attraction. An attraction to the Lord Jesus so that people came believing that He would help them. But I want us to notice something else as we consider this scene at the sea. I want us to notice the gathering. I want us to notice something about those who gathered before the Savior. There's something about these people that are unique, as it were. And I would have to say, first, they came as they were. They came as they were. How are you tonight? How are you tonight? Really? I mean, let's be honest. Now, don't tell me. I don't want to hear. I don't want to feel. I don't know if I can take it with how you're feeling about what I'm doing up here. How are you tonight? You might say, well, I'm not one who's got a withered arm. I'm not one who's a demoniac. I'm not one who's got a great fever of some great illness. I'm not like these people. Well, let me ask you this. Are you burned out? Are you burned out? Are you stressed out? Are you confused? Are you tired? Are you fed up? Maybe we could go in a little deeper. Are you perhaps dishonest? Dishonest in your own heart toward God? Dishonest towards yourself? Dishonest towards those around you? I don't know. What am I talking about? I'm not sure. How are you tonight? How you find yourself in this room, I ask. How are you tonight? You may say, well, you don't know all the things that are going on. How I feel, how I am. Yes, I do. Because I oftentimes come the same way you do. But I'm saying to you tonight, you don't have to come with some great glaring need to the Son of God to find that He will help you. You can come in your state of burnout. You can come in your state of spiritual dullness. You can come in your state of spiritual coldness. You can come in any way. You can come in every way, all at the same time. You will find that the Son of God is there to help. And so I say, you don't have a reason tonight to even think that Christ will not meet with your soul. There's not one. And I say, again, how are you tonight? You know, we oftentimes can consider that the greatly needy can come to Christ. Those that have the demons and those that have the withered arms. But, you know, sometimes we think, well, but it's not true of the dull of heart. They have to go away and they have to get some things fixed before they can come to Christ. No, that's not true. Tonight, if you are dull of heart, you are in exactly the place where Christ can meet with you. If you will but stretch forth the hand as he bid that man in the synagogue, Lord, here is my need. I want to meet with thee. I want to be helped. I want to be drawn to thyself. Here I am, help me. The Son of God will meet with you. These people came as they were. These people also were a people whose hearing did not allow them simply just to be content. They were not just content with hearing what Christ had done. They were not content with having someone witness to them about how the Lord had worked in their life. It was not enough for them to hear somebody else testify how wonderful Christ had been, how marvelously He had answered their prayer, how wonderfully He had come and shown Himself strong in their behalf in this, that, or the other thing. They were a people who were not content with hearing. They had to see Christ themselves and see Him work. Let me ask you, do you have that kind of heart? Do you have that kind of heart tonight? Are you content with just hearing about Christ? Are you content just, well, that's good, I'm glad the Lord does something for you, but I'm content just with hearing about it. Oh, Lord, give us grace. The Lord move upon our hearts that we would be a people who say, I will not content myself with just simply hearing about what Christ has done in past days or what Christ has done for other people. I need to see Christ move in my heart. There was a definite determination among these people that they would have Christ's help. And I say to you, is that your heart tonight? Oh, come then. Come to Christ if that be your heart. I need you, Lord. I'm not satisfied with just simply hearing what you do. I am not satisfied with just simply hearing sermons. I get tired of hearing the sermons. Especially if you're sitting out there. I can understand why you get tired of hearing sermons, especially if they come from me. You know, you need to be on the place or in the place where you are just saying, Lord, I need to meet with you. I have got to meet with you. Come to my heart. Come to my need. I would also say about this gathering is that they did not wait until Christ came to them. Sometimes we think, well, the Lord's going to do a great work in me, but it's going to have to be in that special time, in that special place, in that special way. And then when that takes place, if I'm alone with Christ in a secret place and I've been able to pray for an hour, then the Lord will come to me and then I'll know something from the Lord's hand. No, no, no. If you believe that you have a need, I say, hear what things great things Christ hath done. Arise and come to Him at once. Don't wait around. Don't wait for Christ to draw you to some special time or special... Arise and come to Christ tonight. And that's why I say, as you sit there in your chair, lift up your need, bring it before the Son of God. Do not wait for another time. Do not wait until the preacher is done preaching. Do not wait until the songs are sung. Bring your need to Christ at once. And see if He won't help you. Well, what happened? What happened with all these people who came in such a way? What did they receive? Well, let's notice then the last point. That is the result. The result. What did they receive? Well, they received a welcome. They received a welcome by the Son of God. There is never one who comes to Christ that ever finds the Savior unwilling to meet him. If you come to Jesus Christ tonight and you hold up your need, you are not coming to one who will say, I can't deal with you at this moment. You'll not find that he will ever turn himself away from you. You will have his full attention. Imagine that. You know, some of us thrive on having the full attention of others, especially children. It's sort of cute sometimes when you see what kids will do to get your attention, the lengths that they will go to, the persistence that they show, even to the point of grabbing you by the face and whipping you around saying, "Listen to me!" Have anybody ever known that? You know? And they're not content until they know they have your full attention. But I'm here to tell you tonight that Christ is not one who drifts in his thinking, who, as you are talking to him, his mind drifts off to other things. You know, there's nothing more frustrating to me, and this is one of my pet peeves. There's nothing that's more frustrating to me than when I'm talking to somebody that you can tell, while you are talking to them, that their mind is actually going off onto other things. And you go, why am I talking here? Why am I saying anything here? You know, and you know what I'm talking about. You're probably saying, "Yeah, I've had it done to me." Mark, you've done it to me. Well, probably I have. I don't know. But yeah, that's not the way it is with Christ. If you bring your need to him tonight, he will give you full attention. You have a welcome with the Son of God. There's a great evangelistic slogan that comes from the British Isles. They speak it much over in Northern Ireland, in fact. And that is this: come to Jesus. Come and welcome. That's so true. Child of God, you may come to Jesus tonight. And I say, if you come, you can come and you will be welcome by the Son of God. Bring your needs. Bring your old dull heart. Bring your old unbelief. Bring your whatever it is that you are holding out right at the moment to Christ. I say you are welcome. You are welcome with him. And there's not only a welcome, but I say, and I know my attempt here at alliteration may leave something to be desired, but there's not only a welcome, but there's a wellness. These people received a wellness. They were helped. They were healed. There has never been a man who came to the feet of Christ but has been made perfectly whole. We might say, "Oh, but you don't know my spirit. You don't know exactly where I'm at. You don't know how much I am in need of a complete making over in my spiritual life and in my spirit and in my walk with Christ." How many of us might say tonight, you know, when the psalmist said in Psalm 51 and verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Those were words that the Lord wrote in prophecy all those thousands of years ago, because he knew that in 2002 I would be here and that would be my cry. Many of us have to say that's how we find ourselves. But I say, let Christ do his work for your heart and you shall receive a wellness in your soul. You may have the peace of God. You may have the joy that passes all the possible descriptions that we might try to describe it with. There's a wellness for our soul. They received also, again here, forgive my alliteration, but they received a well. They received a well. That may seem to be a strange word to place at this point, but here's my thought. That those who come to Christ find that the contact proves to produce a greater attraction to Christ. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." I say that there's a well that you can draw from. If you come to Jesus Christ, you will soon find that that coming is producing a well of remembrance from which you may draw in other days, at other times, under other stressful situations. You will find that what has made you whole now will be that which you might find will make you well and whole then. Oh, I say, let us not hesitate to come to the Lord with all that we have. Oh, that the Lord would make us to be a people that find Christ Find him our help. Find him a healer for us. Yes, it is my desire, oh, before the Lord, that this little group be used of the Lord in this area. That this little group be made to be people who walk well with God and walk before the world as a people upon whom the Spirit of God rests. That we are to be used of the Lord in this area. But I say, none of us will ever be made what we need to be until we come to the place where we bring ourselves to the feet of Christ. Bring what we are. Bring what we need. Bring what we must see. And so again, I encourage you this evening. Come with your heart. Come with your need, present it to Jesus Christ. You have every expectation that He will do your soul good and that He will meet your need to the fullest extent. Will you lift your heart to Christ? Will you lift your need to Christ? Will you come to Him and allow Him to do His work in you? May God give us all grace that that would be truly what we find ourselves doing even this night, by His grace. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're thankful for Thy Word. We're thankful that it does nothing but encourage us. We're thankful that it shows us that we have a great Savior and that He is set to do us good. Lord, we're thankful that we can pour out ourselves in any way, shape, or form that we find ourselves and know that Christ is able to meet our heart needs and to make us to be what we need to be. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt now help us as Thy people. I pray that Thy grace will rest upon us. I pray that Thou wilt give us, Lord, help to seek after Thee. Draw us by Thy grace. Lead us to the place where indeed we might behold the great things of God being done in our lives as well as those around us. Lord, do bless now Thy word to our hearts. Keep us close to Thine own heart by the Spirit of God. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, amen.